what it's like to be pushed by the tide.
Oh, hello. You are listening to the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 LP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and this is a special report. Today we're spending a few minutes with legendary musician Matt Anderson. If you don't know Matt, you're in for a big treat. Matt's coming to Vashon on November 2nd at 7:30 for a show at the Vashon Center for the Arts. Among his many awards and accolades, Matt is the first Canadian musician to win the Memphis Blues Challenge. We could list all his awards, but take my word for it, because now we just want to get to the talking. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're having a big rainstorm here, but we're doing well.
Fantastic.
And
perfect.
Thank you so much for joining us. I thought you were on tour, but now I learned that you're at home.
I just got home two nights ago. I was over in Europe for 3 weeks, and just about a week home before I take off on this next run.
Wow. So how did the tour in Europe go?
It was great. Yeah, some new places and some familiar ones, and you know, bigger crowds than last time, so that's all I can really hope for. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I have a question about touring. I know it can be a grueling and sometimes impatient experience, but I also know that it can be joyous, probably a mix of the two. But my question is, how has touring unfolded for you? I mean, is it what you thought it would be oh so many years ago before you started?
I think when you first start, you don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a learning thing. Yeah, you know, you just kind of go in it. And, you know, for most of us, it kind of happens naturally. And then
uh-huh.
You start playing close to home, and then eventually, you know, you're away for 2 weeks at a time and maybe 3 weeks, and then it turns to, you know, to full-blown tours. So it kind of all happens naturally, I guess. It seems like it kind of grew in that way anyway, so mm-hmm. I didn't really get surprised by any of it. But there's, you know, I definitely have my ideas of when I was a kid of what, you know, being a touring musician would be like are not the rock and roll ideals
uh-huh.
they are, for sure.
It's a little different from what we thought, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more, it's turned to the gigs are the payoff, you know. Everything else is kind of a bit of a drudge sometimes, you know, the gas station sandwiches and the long hauls. But then sometimes, you know, you get to take a ferry across, you know, from Denmark to Germany, and that's
mm.
a gorgeous moment. So
mm-hmm.
there's little victories, I guess, that kind mm-hmm. of make the whole thing worth it.
Does one of your concerts in Europe recently stand out to you?
The last two we had were in Berlin and Hamburg, and both of those were done in churches that were built probably in the 16th and 17th centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just amazing to, you know, to stand in a venue like that that's been around so long, and then to sing, and just, you know, it was built for one person staying in and addressing a room full of people, and they're just amazing, just the vibes. And I'm a bit of a history buff, so I love get to be in those kind of places.
Oh, that's wonderful! Yeah, you get a learning experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a fairly new album out. Did it come out in March?
Yep, it was out. We did a band tour with across Canada back in March and April.
Yes, and so how has the reception for the album been?
Good, I think. I mean, it's the industry has changed that you can't really go by CD sales anymore, so I have to go that people are still coming out to the shows and then liking
mm-hmm.
the songs. So,
mm-hmm.
so it feels good that way. You
yeah.
know, we're still having
yeah.
people come along and people knowing the new songs.
So this new album is called Big Bottle of Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me where that title came from?
Oh, one of my friends, we were talking at a festival once backstage, just kind of hanging out, and he said, "Matt, you're just like a big bottle of joy," and that kind of stuck in my head. And when I put this band together, that's exactly what they feel like. You know, it's a lot of fun on stage, it's a lot of fun off stage, and it's a fun show for me. You know, it's just, it's all smiles, we're all friends. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, people I've had at my supper table and on stage, so it's a pretty cool thing.
That really is. Well, this album has sort of a celebratory feel to it. You know, I mean, it's a bluesy rock and roll album, but it also has some happiness and some darkness
mm-hmm.
in it. And you're playing with a wide range of musicians on this album. Is this your first with such a big group?
Nope. I mean, I've done an album with a full horn section before.
Okay.
And, but this is the first time I've had the whole band in the studio at the same time. And probably the first time I've known exactly who the band was going to be
mm-hmm.
as I was writing for the album. So that kind of changed, you know, getting ready for this production, you know, for the album, just to know who was going to be playing and know how they play so well.
Right.
And it kind of changed all that and kind of made more of, I don't know, I don't want to say planned out, but I guess I kind of knew what was happening more,
mm-hmm.
more than I have before.
Less spontaneous, maybe, is the way
mm-hmm.
to say it. Yeah. So speaking of the horn section, I understand your first instrument was a tuba.
It was, yep. In our school band program, you get to choose your instruments, and my band director kind of pointed me towards tuba, I think, because I was the only kid that could carry it, really. So that was my first thing, and then trumpet, and then picked up guitar and that kind of stuff more at home. But, I was very fortunate to have a school band and the tuba. Yeah. I still look back on that fondly, yeah.
Do you still have your tuba?
No. Actually, the tuba was probably one of the most expensive instruments, so you rented that one. So it was a hand-me-down tuba from generations before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've played with some mighty big legends in the music industry, Bo Diddley pops up, and Greg Allman, Buddy Guy. Mm-hmm. When you did shows like these, did you walk away with new ideas, or how did those legendary musicians influence or affect you?
Mostly it was the inspiration from watching guys. You know, when I was out with Bo Diddley, he was in his 80s, same as Buddy Guy. I mean, he's been, I've done probably 25 shows opening for him, and opened Steve Miller, you know, a couple of years ago. It's just to see them going on stage and still do so well, you know, it doesn't feel like, I felt like I still see him in their prime maybe that had been 30 years before, but they were still fantastic, still putting on a show, still digging in. Still on the road, doing lots of shows. So it was pretty inspirational. Somebody who was, you know, probably in my 30s, I guess, when I was doing those gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see people not slowing down was pretty inspirational. You know, you see this industry beats people up quite a bit, but seeing those guys had managed to fight that off.
Oh, good. Yeah. Is there somebody out there living now that you'd like to play with that you haven't?
Oh man, my girlfriend and her friends got to see Bonnie Raitt while I was away. And I had tickets, but ended up, you know, getting on tour, which is touring always comes first. But yeah, I would love to see Bonnie sometimes. She's one of those voices that is just slays me, and she's like a real sweetheart too. So I think it would be a real joy to get to do something with her.
Now, what are you doing with her?
Oh, if I could, I would love to.
Oh, if you could. Okay.
No, I thought.
Okay. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd like, I'll help promote that one. So I read somewhere that you once said you prefer to live where you don't have too many neighbors.
Yep.
And are you living in a place where you don't have too many neighbors?
We've got neighbors, but they're through the trees. You can't see each other. So that's good for me. I've got about 7 acres where I'm at, and, yeah, we know our neighbors, but we don't see them when we step outside of the back porch, and that's kind of what I like for me. I like the space. You know, I get my, I get the travel in the cities a lot, and I love being in cities, but when I come home, I like to have some green around me.
Well, you're coming to Vashon Island, where there's a lot of greenery as well, and have you been here before?
I haven't. No, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it'll be really wonderful to have you here. I also wanted to ask you a question about playing with a live audience. How do you engage your audience? What happens in that moment when you know that you're engaged?
The good shows are like a good conversation with a friend. You know, there's back and forth. The energy goes back and forth. The magic happens. And sometimes it's, I've learned that, being a
You're cutting out a little bit. You're cutting out a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You kind of realize that everybody experiences shows differently, so it's hard to just put all the pressure on the audience for having a fun show. So I've learned to kind of make sure I do my part, and hopefully they do their part, and we have a good night.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing you do your part here on November 2nd, and we are, boy, the minutes go so fast, and we're out of time now. But I thank you so much for calling and chatting with us a little bit. For the audience, again, Matt's coming to Vashon Center for the Arts on November 2nd at 7:30. Matt, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you and seeing you on stage. And Vashon welcomes you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No one's breaking your heart. It's just you and the dark. To having to hold.